Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This week on Unforgotten. Today we are sharing a case with you that is now going on 18 years without being resolved.
He worked hard, was church-going, helped others, and just a well-rounded man who couldn't hurt a fly.
He got Scott a job at U.S. Helicopter working as a contractor, which resulted in Scott moving in with Matt.
He had a relationship with a woman. That woman was in a complicated living arrangement with her ex-husband.
Tuesday morning, neither Matt nor Scott came into work.
The 11th anniversary of Matt and Scott's murders.
He was arrested 11 years later.
The prosecution dropped the charges due to a witness going missing. After talking with him, they still have evidence. And even more importantly, they are in the process.
Matt's family and Scott's really need that breakthrough so they can finally get this murderer behind bars. Hey everyone, this is Sellers.
And this is Stormy.
And this is Unforgotten,
where each episode will highlight unsolved missing, murdered, and suspicious death cases in Alabama in order to raise awareness and hopefully obtain some answers for victims and their families.
Please remember that any individual referenced in the podcast should be considered innocent until found guilty in a court of law, and any opinions or views expressed in the podcast are solely those of participants. Listener discretion is advised, as some of the content discussed in the podcast may contain violence or graphic descriptions and may not be suitable for all audiences.
And now for Season 2's Episode 4, James Matthew Helms and Scott Allen Hyde.
Hey guys, and welcome back. Today we are sharing a case with you that is now going on 18 years without being resolved. This double homicide seems completely solvable. There was even an arrest at one point. But despite a grand jury issuing the indictment, which would seem to indicate there was enough evidence to proceed, the charges were dropped. We'll get into the details as we make our way through the episode. Last year, we were contacted by the family of 30-year-old James Matthew Helms, or Matt, as he was known to his family. They were hoping we could help bring more attention to his and his roommate's double homicide case, as it seemed stalled. Shortly after, we posted a summary of his case through our social media pages, as we often do. Later, in 2025, we received some updated information and pictures, and we were able to speak to one of the investigators from his case. So, with the permission of the family, we decided to share his case on Unforgotten, as well as an updated case summary post on social media, hoping that this will shine further light on the case and encourage people to come forward with tips and information to help finally bring resolution to this case.
So, our case takes us to a rural area in southern Alabama in the small town named Enterprise and a home on Country Road 622, where Matt Helms and his roommate Scott Allen Hyde lived. The two were found in their home where they had been shot to death. According to reports, there was no evidence of forced entry, and Matt's sister was the one to discover the horrible scene. We'll begin by noting that we want to recognize that though we are focusing on Matt quite a bit, Scott was also a victim in this case. We had very little information regarding Scott, and there is a strong sense among those close to this case that the crime was likely centered around Matt, and that Scott was likely to have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, so to say. Keeping our minds open, we won't say that the target wasn't Scott, or even both of them. As we share this case, see what you think about it, and we encourage you to share your thoughts with us on social media, messaging, email, or by phone. And of course, if you have any information regarding the case, please let us know or contact the Enterprise PD directly. All the contact information, as usual, will be in the episode description, and we'll mention it again at the end of the episode.
So let's start by sharing a bit of Matt as a person. As we mentioned, James Helm was referred to by his family as Matt. We've recently come to know through many comments on the post we shared that Matt was lovingly called Ick by many of his friends, short for Ichabod Crane. It was said that some thought he resembled the character from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. We haven't determined yet which version of the story he resembled the most, but it was a name that stuck. And I'll admit, after looking at the pictures, I can sort of see why. Born on December 4th, 1976, Matt was raised by his parents, along with two brothers and a sister. At only 20 years old, Matt started a family, and though he didn't stay with their mother, they brought two wonderful children into the world, a boy and a girl, who in 2007 were going on ages 10 and 7, respectively, at that time. Matt worked at U.S. Helicopter for years. He was a maintenance supervisor there, and while working in his full-time position, he was going to Enterprise State Junior College and getting his IT degree. At the time of his death, he was very close to finishing his degree.
His family shared that he was one of the nicest people you would ever meet. He loved to help the elderly, and they loved him. He would help them with their yards, bringing in groceries, and even changed a flat tire for an elderly woman. He loved to fish, barbecue, and he was a huge Alabama fan, so he would often host barbecues during football season. He had a spunk about him, and he just loved to help others. His face was said to light up a room.
He had a nice smile.
He did. Every time I look at those pictures.
Like, he just looks friendly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what stands out. Like, when I look at the pictures that we got, that's what hits me immediately is his smile.
And, you know, there's some pictures, you know, that they're just smiling for the camera, but his were always, they always look so genuine.
Yes,
so natural.
That's what I was thinking is it. They just look genuinely happy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, mischievous. Like, he was always, like, in on a joke that nobody else knew.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always in on a joke that nobody else knows, but that's because I think I'm funny.
Sometimes I don't even know if you know what the joke is.
I don't most of the time.
Matt seemed like such a nice guy. He worked hard, was church-going, helped others, and just a well-rounded man who couldn't hurt a fly.
As we mentioned earlier, Matt was not alone when he was murdered. He had a roommate, Scott Hyde, who was murdered at the same time. Unfortunately, we don't really know a lot about Scott. There's not really a lot of information out there. We gleaned a little bit about him from Matt's family and the investigator that we spoke to. Scott was not originally from Enterprise. He was actually from Colorado. He had entered the Navy Reserves, and through a friend he'd made in the Navy Reserves, met Matt. Scott decided he wanted a change of pace, and in typical Matt fashion, he got Scott a job at U.S. Helicopter working as a contractor, which resulted in Scott moving in with Matt. If you're looking for a way to show up and give back, it's time to lace up those sneakers. Registration is open for Vocal's Voices of Victims 5K happening on June 21st, 2025. We've posted the link on our social media pages, and you'll also find it in the episode description.
We asked about what things may have been leading up to the murders in the weeks or days prior. Was there anything that seemed wrong or anything that seemed out of the ordinary? We did know he had a relationship with a woman, and unfortunately, that woman was in a complicated living arrangement with her ex-husband. We often talk about risk factors in cases, and this was a red flag for sure. But we couldn't find any other risk factors publicly shared. normal teenage antics, but he, by all accounts, was highly regarded, a responsible adult, parent, and son. No one could understand how anyone could hurt Matt, let alone murder him and Scott. And all of this leads up to October 2nd, 2007.
The Sunday evening before, Matt and Scott were seen barbecuing on their back porch. Just a normal, pleasant fall evening. A Media General News Service reported that the last anyone had heard from either of the men was at approximately 10 p.m. Monday night. Tuesday morning, neither Matt nor Scott came into work. They didn't call in. They just didn't show up. So, as employers do, they started a series of phone calls to family when the men couldn't be reached on their phones. Eventually, Matt's sister was asked to check in on them. Unfortunately, what she discovered was a terrible scene. She found both Matt and Scott deceased from gunshot wounds in Matt's home. Understandably, she was shaken. The Enterprise Police Department was called in, the family was notified, and the investigation began. The Dothan Eagle reported on October 4, 2007, that a neighbor was woken by the sound of a gunshot at around 6 a.m. the Tuesday that they were discovered. It was determined that a Taurus 44 special revolver with the serial number scratched off had been used in the murders and discarded off the side of a road. The location was later determined to be a likely route to take by the prime suspect in the case at the time.
It's so difficult for families dealing with the aftermath of such a traumatic event to be the one to discover the scene. Well, if you haven't been in that position, it's unimaginable. What can be so frustrating is when a case for a loved one hasn't been resolved after all of this time and a family can't really start healing from the trauma. They are often almost stuck in time at the time of the event, rather than being able to at least remember their loved ones for the good things without the apprehension and unknown hanging over their heads.
It breaks my heart. And Stormy is the same way.
Right.
Because it's infuriating. Because one, it's senseless, right?
Yeah.
And that it even happened to begin with. But the fact that we are now almost 20 years into this.
Yeah.
Because in 2 years, it'll be 20 years.
Right.
And we're still having to have this conversation. Because what should be happening at this point is that, you know, there's no closure, right? Because you're missing an entire being in your life. So there's not closure for that. You can't just close up that hole and they're no longer there. But there is a healing process where you get to talk about them and remember the good times.
Kind of let go of all that weight.
Yeah. And so what should be happening at this point is that you're able to talk about the before, the happy things. You know what? If the only thing that we can give any of these families is the ability to actually tell us the before stories, then I think I'll be okay. Like mm-hmm. to laugh about those and talk about those, then I think I'm lying. I wouldn't be okay. But, and so it makes me so angry to sit here and think that we are almost 20 years later and we're having to continue to talk about this. We shouldn't be having this conversation because you're still in this place where you haven't been able to even start healing. And that's not okay.
7 months after the murders, investigators were able to determine who the original owner was, a second owner, and then also had a suspect with a probable link to a likely third owner of the Taurus revolver. Additional information was also uncovered. In November of 2018, a News 4 article stated that investigators believe 42-year-old Robert Aaron Varveen murdered two men because one of them was having an extramarital affair with Varveen's wife, which we know isn't entirely accurate because we know that they were not married at the time of the murders. But they were living together, so this theory still held water. The article goes on to mention that Matt was seeing Varveen's wife. The article further mentions that Varvain, quote, told them he was home with his special needs child when the murders occurred. However, police say they found inconsistencies in his statement and believe Varvain left the child, killed Helms and Hyde, then returned home. Another witness told police Varvain likely stole the handgun used in the murders. He recognized it as one of his after media broadcast a photo of the gun. Well, that's something. Like, you're just looking at the news and you're like, wait, that looks like my gun.
I know. Can you imagine? I'd probably freak out a little bit, especially if I knew for sure it wasn't used in a murder.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And what about it made you think like, oh, that's definitely mine.
Yeah. And to be honest, if I'd have looked at the picture, of course, I don't know guns, so that's not really a fair assessment. But if I looked at the picture, I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. So many of them look just alike.
Yeah.
They don't just manufacture one.
Maybe he assessed that because he knew people involved, possibly.
Maybe. Or had an idea about who stole his.
Right.
Which would go to knowing the type of person that might use it.
Yep.
A News 3 article mentions an investigator said Bobby had also asked a coworker about getting rid of dead bodies.
On October 2, 2018, the 11th anniversary of Matt and Scott's murders, Robert Bobby Aaron Varvain was arrested and charged with their homicide, facing two counts of capital murder, which could lead to the death penalty if convicted. These charges came following a grand jury indictment being handed down. The first worrisome sign came on June of 2019. The judge in Varvain's case set a bond at $100,000 and stated that the evidence against Varvain may not be sufficient to convict him, that his defense showed that other possible persons may have committed the crime, and that the prosecution submitted little evidence of guilt. We are unsure how the judge came to this conclusion, but as evident by the ongoing open case, in July of 2020, the case was almost unbelievably dismissed as the prosecution dropped the charges due to a witness going missing a few months before Varvain's arrest. So the newspaper, or the news, there was an article from July 27th, 2020 on News 3. News outlets report District Attorney Tom Anderson of Alabama's 12th Judicial Court says he agreed to dismiss charges against 41-year-old Bobby Varvain because investigators hadn't been able to locate a material witness in the case.
You know, we are aware of a person that went missing not long after the murders. After talking with an investigator, it seems they are convinced that the disappearance was not related to Matt and Scott's case. But either way, this disappearance surely came with consequences.
Yeah, Bobby had most definitely caught a break from her disappearance, regardless of how it occurred. There were also some other odd circumstances going on in the background with this case that we won't give details of, as they're not really substantiated at this point. And as we often hear, many things in the original investigation may not have been handled as maybe they should have been. As mentioned, we have been talking with an investigator, and he's from the Enterprise PD. And what we do know after talking with him is that they still have evidence on file. And even more importantly, they are in the process of getting some of that evidence tested for DNA matches now that they have better technology and processes in place. So
that's so good to hear.
The last I heard, the items were to be submitted before Memorial Weekend, and it seems that they are feeling pretty good about the outcome of that testing.
Woo!
No.
That's great to hear, honestly.
I know. We don't often get that kind of great news, so that's worth celebrating a little bit.
He's been pretty dedicated.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been really great in talking with us, and...
So. But we forgot to ask if we could share his name. That's why we're not doing it.
Yeah. Our apologies.
Sorry.
Maybe we'll get an interview with him and he'll talk a little bit more about it.
Or he'll end up listening and be like, well, y'all could have said my name and will be like, oh, crap.
Probably. Sorry. I bet you he probably will.
It is really encouraging. Matt's family and Scott's really need that breakthrough so they can finally get this murderer behind bars and convicted. And it seems they feel they have a pretty strong case aside from this. So maybe we will soon see some great news.
I certainly pray for that to be the case. We know how devastated this family has been over Matt's death, and Scott's as well. There are so many victims in these cases, families of those who've lost their loved ones, but additionally in cold cases like the many cases we share, where there's been no resolution. After stages of grief, they've been left in something like limbo, waiting for answers, reliving the trauma as if it were yesterday. We always hope that people will come forward with information when we share these cases to help end that unknown.
We ask with all our heart, as we do in every case, if any of you have any information or you know someone who has information regarding Matt and Scott's murders, please come forward. There are many ways you can submit that very important information. The best way is directly to Enterprise Police Department at 334-347-2222 or on their website through their tip form at enterprisepd.com. You may also reach out to us through our tip line by texting or calling 251-501-COLD or 2653. Our email at info@alcoldcase.com or through our contact form on our website at alcoldcase.com. All of the contact information will be in the episode description as always. Since Alabama Cold Case Advocacy's creation, we have dedicated innumerable hours to researching and networking in an effort to provide the largest platform we can to the cases we share. We shoulder all associated expenses with Alabama Cold Case Advocacy out of our own pocket, including the subscription fees for researching and production of the Unforgotten podcast to provide a cost-free avenue for the victims' families of those cases.
We hope you will join in our efforts to raise awareness of Alabama's missing and murdered and support these families who have been forced to carry the immeasurable loss of their loved ones and the fight for answers. If you appreciate our mission and you are inspired to make a donation, your extra support will enable the ACCA to continue our research, share the cold cases, and help those families know that they are also unforgotten.
Unforgotten is an Alabama Cold Case Advocacy podcast recorded in conjunction with Riverside FM, hosted and distributed by Red Circle to your favorite podcast platforms. Content, research, artwork, and production are by Sellers and Stormy of Alabama Cold Case Advocacy. Credits for music, sound clips, special mentions, and research sources can be found in each episode's description. Your support helps us continue producing Unforgotten and further Alabama Cold Case's mission of advocacy and awareness. There are a few ways you can help us light the path. Make a one-time or monthly donation to Unforgotten through Red Circle. Sign up for a one-time or recurring donation through the ACCA website. Or subscribe to the Unforgotten Patreon channel for early access to ad-free episodes. You will find the links for all three in our episode descriptions. Another cost-free way to be of great help is to follow us on social media. But most importantly, whatever you do, tell everyone you know about these cases. Sharing their stories is one of the most effective ways to help find resolution for Alabama's cold cases. Be the spark. Thank you for listening, and until next time, remember, justice may be delayed, but the victims and their families remain unforgotten.
That was good. You did good on that one.
Thanks.